Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Psalm. I'm going to look at Psalm 121. Turn to Psalm 121. Scripture says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. If you are like most people, you experience the troubles and trials of life. Some things are irritations. Other afflictions can be overwhelming. It isn't too hard to find ourselves in distress. High blood pressure and anxiety are common ailments. So what should we do? I would like to direct your attention to our text today and encourage you to lift up your eyes. That's the title of the message today, Lift Up Your Eyes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house today, and we might worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that for those who could not be here due to sickness, providential hindrance, that you'd be pleased to send healing. Be with those who are bereaved, that you would give them comfort. Those who might be in distress of some sort that's hindering them from being in your house, we pray that you would direct them back unto you and give them what they need. Lord, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts today, draw us unto you, help us to be attentive. And as we face the trials and the difficulties of life, we ask that you grant us the grace that we need as your people to serve you well and to be found faithful. And we ask if there's any here today who is not saved, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, grant unto them repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. And we'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory. Lord, we just ask these things in the name of Jesus. And we love you today. Amen. Lift up your eyes. Now permit me, first of all, to say to those of you who are here without Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you can go to God for refuge, but your greatest need is salvation. You need to trust in Jesus and become a child of God. He knows who you are. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. And He commands you to repent and to come to Him for salvation. Permit me also to say that as a sinner, you receive His common blessings, for it rains upon the just and the unjust. But there are many more blessings reserved for His children, some of which I will speak about today. May the Spirit of God work in your heart. The psalm under consideration today is a song of degrees. It is thought that these songs were psalms were sung as the pilgrims journeyed up to Jerusalem to attend a feast. These words rang out as they came to worship the Lord. Now in this psalm, we shall notice that the psalmist is facing a dilemma of some sort. He has a problem and he needs help. And my objective is for us to see how he reacts to whatever is burdening his heart and why. For each of us can identify with him in that we are either facing a dilemma of our own or we have faced a dilemma in the past. Now the question arises, how can we have peace in the midst of the storm? Or perhaps, where can I find help in the turmoils of my life? For our answer, let us look at what the psalmist writes. The first item I want to bring to your attention is that he knows the source. Verse 1 and verse 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so we have this writing here, and he speaks of how that he has some sort of trouble, some sort of problem going on, and he looks to God in the midst of these troubles. Truth is, this guy needs help. He needs help, and he looks for assistance. Now, I have found that in our society, people might need some help, but they don't necessarily look for assistance. They kind of think that they might be able to do it all on their own. And they don't need God, and they don't need the Bible, and they don't need anybody else. But we're self-made men, and we can do it without any help or assistance whatsoever. But not this guy. This writer writes, and he speaks about how that he has a problem. He's going to lift up his eyes unto the hills because he needs help, and he's going to look for assistance. And the good thing about this is he goes to God for that assistance. I will look up mine eyes into the hills. My help comes from the Lord. And so I encourage you today, dear friend, if you have problems, you have troubles, you have trials, you have needs in your life, look for assistance. And look for assistance from God. Now, I'm not saying you can't get help from the pastor or from a Sunday school teacher or from a deacon or from another person. I'm not saying that. You can get help from them too. There's nothing wrong with a multitude of counselors. But primarily, you need to look to God. You need to take your care to Him. That's what He does. Now, He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And that's kind of an odd way of stating things, isn't it? I'm going to lift up my eyes unto the hills. What does that mean? Well, often, and back in this time, often the altars and places of worship were on the hilltops. And I see this as an expression of looking to the one whom he worships. And so he says, why, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Well, that's where they worshiped God, was on the top of hills. But also, as this song is one that was be sung, it's a song of degrees, as they go up to the temple, as they enter in to worship God and into these feasts, this is an expression of the temple. It was on the Temple Mount, remember? And so, again, I see it as a matter of looking to the Lord. He says, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. He's not talking about the rocks and the trees and the grass that's out there that's on the higher plane than in the valleys. No, my friend, he's talking about God, whom he worships and whom he follows after. And so you need to lift up your eyes unto the hills. You need to look unto God who is in heaven. Now notice he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now no doubt, this is an idea of expectation. He has troubles and he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look to God with my trouble. I'm going to cast my care upon Him. I'm going to turn it over to Jehovah. I'm going to lift up my eyes to Him because I expect Him to help. From whence cometh my help? But more than that, I believe this is coupled with experience. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? And he has that expectation, but why? Because he's already gone through that. He's been through other types of trouble and trial and tribulation, and he's turned to the Lord before, and he knows that he can cast his care upon him. He knows that he can look unto him and receive the help that he needs because of experience. Hasn't God brought you through so many things? Will he yet deliver? He shall, my friend. And so no matter what you're going through in life, I encourage you to look unto the Lord from whence cometh your help. This psalmist knew the source. He knew where to turn. This is also a declaration of trust. He says, I got these troubles. I'm going to look unto God because He is going to help me. What confidence he had in the Lord. Now, if you have any question at all about what he meant by looking up unto the hills, and if you didn't like my explanation, well, verse 2 just makes it very clear who he is talking about. Specifically, he says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God, the Creator. God, the Sustainer. The God of Israel. That's who he looks to. He says, my help comes from the Lord. You'll notice that it's in all caps, that word Lord, which means that's the word in regard to Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the God of Israel. And he says, my help comes from Him. Now, the psalmist is not trusting some idol or false god. He's not looking to some piece of wood that's overlaid with gold that has hands but cannot feel and has feet and cannot walk and has eyes and cannot see. My friend, he's looking to God, the Creator, the Sustainer, the one who made the heavens and the earth. Aren't you glad to know that even though you are God's creation, God made you, that you can turn to Him? I mean, God is God. And some people, they think, well, I can't go to God because He's really just too busy. What if He's out making other worlds? What if He's out creating other universes? Oh, I don't want to bother God. Well, I want you to know, my friend, if you have any trouble, you have any care, or if you're just having an every great day you have, you can go to God at any time. God is not too busy. God is not on a journey. He wants you to come to Him. In fact, He encourages you to go to Him. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 11, let me read to you verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You say, well, I really have problems and I really need to take them to somebody and I'd like to go to God, but God just doesn't have the time. No, my friend, He does have the time. He's got plenty of time because He's beyond time. Don't you understand? God is eternal and God is the one that made heaven and earth. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. Turn to the Lord. You have a problem today? You have a care? Know your source. Know your source. And sadly, what we find when we look at verse 1 and verse 2 is that we do have affliction, which brings us to despair. Things happen, don't they? Troubles come. And we might despair over these things. And then sadly, when you think, this guy, he turned to the Lord, but you know, often we'll turn to everybody else for help, and we will not turn to God. How sad is that? I've met people, and you can read in the scriptures about the one lady that was sick for years, and she went to all the doctors that she could, and she still had this problem, and then finally she went to Jesus, and God healed her, took care of it, and dried up the problem with her blood. Well, she should have turned to Him all the time, and she spent all of her money on all these people and all these doctors. She turned everywhere but to Jesus, and then finally she turned to Him. I've been in the hospital rooms where people had all kinds of problems and physical situations going on, and they would refuse to look to God. They would not turn to Him. They're mad at God because of their physical condition, because of the illness of which they're experiencing, and they'll talk to the doctors, and they'll talk to the psychiatrists and the psychologists, and they'll get every kind of bit of help that they can and try any kind of medication, anything, but they will not look to God because they're angry at Him. And I've told them, I said, listen, you don't want to do that because God is the great physician. He is your only help. And if you turn away from God, who else can help you? And so I encourage you today to know the source. The Lord is our source, just like the psalmist is saying here. And so you can lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence comes your help. Now, verse 1 and verse 2, I believe He knows the source. In verse 3 and verse 4, secondly, He knows the situation. It says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." He talks about God and God's character and God's awareness. And what it is that the psalmist knows that God knows. He knows the situation. God is completely aware. And let me tell you, dear friend, that nothing will happen to us without His knowledge. Nothing takes God by surprise. It says that He doesn't allow our foots to be moved. He that keeps us will not slumber. He doesn't sleep. You see, God does not get drowsy. God does not sleep. He is alert. He is aware. Now, you know when you're asleep, you don't have much awareness of what's going on around you, do you? But you know, even if you get drowsy, you can do that. You ever drive down the road and you get a little sleepy and you start drifting off and you start to drive off the road or whatever, you start to lose awareness of the surroundings. When I was back in college many years ago, I could show you my notebook, where I don't have great penmanship, but you can read what I write. And one day, obviously, I was very sleepy because in class you could see where I'd start, and it's real scribbly. You can barely read the thing, and I'd fall asleep, and the pen mark would go up the page. And then I'd start writing again, and I'd fall asleep, and it'd go off another direction. And you can see in my notes, nice-looking, really, notes. And then all of a sudden, one day, I was drowsy. And aren't you glad that it says that He neither slumbers nor sleeps? God does not get tired. He does not get sleepy. And the psalmist knew that. Now, I dare suggest unto you that I think that many people do not go to God because they do not think that God knows the situation. For some reason, they think God is some being out in the universe somewhere above the stars, and that he really doesn't know what's going on this earth. And there are people who will not turn to God, who will not cast their care upon him, who will not give him their needs, because they just simply think he doesn't know. He doesn't care. He is not aware. He doesn't understand what we're going through. He doesn't know what it's like with all the peer pressure. And he doesn't understand what it is with technology and all the things of this life. And there are people that will not go to God simply because they feel that God does not know. God does not understand. I see the psalmist expressing differently. God knows the situation. God is completely aware. And he, let me remind you, God does understand everything you go through. You say, well, he doesn't live in the 21st century, and he doesn't face what I face, and he doesn't have to deal with what I have to deal with. He knows exactly what you go through. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 15. It says that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It's a couple negatives there that says, well, what we do is we have a high priest that can be touched. He can associate. He does know. He does understand. Why? Because it says in the text, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I don't know how all that works out, but I do believe that he was tempted in all points, and he never sinned. And so Jesus Christ does know, does understand. He does comprehend. Therefore, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You say, well, God doesn't know my situation. He does. Go to the throne, dear believer. Go before the Lord. Tell him your heart. He knows it better than you. In fact, he knew it before you knew it. And he completely understands it. Who do you think God is? God is God, my friend, and God knows. God is aware. And you not only need to know the source, you need to know that God knows, that God is an understanding of that situation. And then there's something else I want to point out to you here in verse 3 and verse 4, is his trust in Jehovah. There, twice it's stated here, one in verse 3 and the other one in verse 4, where he says, he that keepeth. He that keepeth. The word keepeth means to hedge about. Therefore, it's the idea to guard. It is to protect. He that keepeth thee, he says. God guards over you. Aren't you glad he's aware? He understands? And he's not a guard that falls asleep on duty, but he is completely awake. You see, the Lord is watching. You have trouble today? Heartache? Problems? Know the source and understand that he knows the situation. The psalmist did. And then if you would look into the next part, verse 5 and verse 6. He knows his strength. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Now, you'll notice here what he does. He begins the psalm talking about his situation, his trouble, what he's going to do, how he's going to respond, and then he encourages the listeners. Remember, this is a song. He encourages the listeners to trust God too. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. And so he says, I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills. My help comes from God that made heaven and earth. I'm not afraid of that. I can trust him. He completely knows all things and is aware of what I'm going through. And so I tell you, he is your keeper. You look to him. And so he expresses those of his fellow Israelites that God is their protector. And you'll notice he's the protector day or night. Notice verse 6, the expression, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Some people think that, well, God's good during the day, but he's not good at night. And isn't that an odd thought? And that's why some people are very superstitious, and they feel that, well, if they do a certain thing on a certain day when the moon's at full moon and all that, that God will hear better or something. People have some strange ideas. Well, I'll tell you, God is aware at all times. It doesn't have to be a full moon. It doesn't have to be on a certain day. God is absolutely aware. We've seen that in the text. God is the one who is the protector. He is the keeper. And I want to remind you as well, when you think about this, and I mentioned a little bit of this in the Sunday school this morning, God's providence is always active. Now, in the Sunday school this morning, we mentioned a little bit about how Jesus was warning his disciples about how that they'll be persecuted by the Pharisees. But then there was a discussion about the sparrows and how many sparrows you could get for a couple farthings and all that, and how God, but we're more valuable than a couple sparrows and many sparrows. And well, you know what? God has the very hairs of our head numbered. Well, that's a grand thing, isn't it? But the truth is, you look at the psalmist and you're saying, well, you read the verses and he says, God is your keeper, God is your shade, God, the sun will not smite you by day or the moon by night. Nothing will ever happen to me. That's not what he is saying. There is still the providence of God. Isn't the psalmist in distress? Isn't he in some sort of problem, some sort of situation? If he weren't, then he doesn't need to lift up his eyes, does he? He doesn't need help. But we've already established this guy needs help. And he's turning to God for help. And so you say, well, he has this complete trust that God will just watch over him. Absolutely. But in the providence of God, God will allow things to come upon you. I believe exactly as the psalmist says, and I believe that God is a God who watches and protects and keeps. But he also allows things to come to us. You look in Psalm 120, the psalm before, he talks about the great distresses that he has. And you talk about Psalm 122, he begins about, he's glad to go up to the house of the Lord. Sandwiched in between there is, I'm going to lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. You see, troubles will come, but he will not tempt you above that which we are able. But with every temptation, he'll make a way of escape. Troubles may come at God's permission, but you will not be overwhelmed. You must keep in mind that God is a sovereign God and God is a God of providence, and that God's purpose prevails. Well, I mentioned this as well in the Sunday school. I made reference to, and we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and we realize when you get to that great hall of faith, oh, there are so many wonderful stories going on there and great victories and successes. But then you get at the end of that chapter and it says that not everybody was delivered. But there were some who were made destitute, wandering the earth in goatskins and sheepskins. Others were tortured. They were not delivered. And you know what? People died. People suffered. But yet they still believed. It's God allowed that to happen. God's providence. Here is a guy who is trusting God completely. But you know what? He's going through a hard time. But what is he going to do? God allowed this to me, come to me, and I don't like that. Fooey on God. Is that what he does? Or does he say, you know what? I have a trouble. I have a trial. And God, who has helped me in the past, will help me again. And I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to lean upon him, because my God is the one that's completely aware of what's going on. He knows it better than I do. And as a matter of fact, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always awake. He's certainly on the ball. And that's what he's expressing in the Lord. And by the way, I want to suggest unto you that God is sovereign, isn't he? And God is in control. And if anyone can help, he can. And if God doesn't help, the doctors won't do it. And nobody else can either. You're not going to be able to do it if God doesn't do it. God must work. God is sovereign. God is in control. He's the creator, isn't he? Can he keep the sun from smiting you and the moon from smiting you at night? He can, because he created them to begin with. God is in control. And you know, when we think about God's strength, and I encourage you to know your source and to know that God knows and to know that he is your strength. He is the one that you need to turn to. He is the one that can take care of you and protect you. He is the keeper. But do you realize how often you go through life and you don't have any awareness of that? No cognizance? Well, I'll tell you, I dare suggest unto you that God has protected you more than you've ever considered. Things you've never been aware of that God has done. These things that go on in life, and especially you live in our society. Boy, it's a very dangerous society, and the criminal mind is out there, and they're kicking in doors all over the place, and they're hijacking cars, and you go, wow, what a horrible situation that we live in our society, and we're so fearful of these things. But do you know what? Have you ever thought that maybe there was a guy that was looking at your house, but God moved him along? That there was somebody that was considering to take you as a victim, but God moved them along. God protected you. Have you ever been driving down the road and a guy up here on the lane up here falls asleep or whatever, swerves over into your lane, and you see him and you go, wow, that guy's drunk or something. Whenever that happens, well, we give it the gas and get by him because we're not going to stay back there. We don't know what he's going to do. But let me ask you, that 2 or 3 second difference, what if you were beside him when they did that? Did you ever stop to think that extra stoplight that you got stopped at? God forbid, I don't like stoplights either, but you have to stop somewhere. And the traffic you get hung up in may have, I can't prove it, but may have prevented you from being in a certain place down the road where it would have been a different situation altogether. Oh, it's possible, isn't it? I believe that happens more than we think. I believe that the angels of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him. God protects us. God watches over us. I'll tell you, I've been in a situation where I've smelled fire. I'm sure of it. Boy, do you smell smoke? And I remember back in college years ago that there was a time where I smelled smoke in my room, and another guy came out and he said, hey, do you smell smoke? I said, yeah, I do. And we searched that whole house. We never could find anything. And you say, well, you guys are just dreaming. No. Couldn't it have been possible that there could have been a smoldering somewhere and God snuffed it out? Could it? Why, sure. All I suggest unto you is that God is our strength and that He helps us more than we know. And He protects us and He guards us. The Lord is our protector. He is our strength. And so if you're going through trouble and trial today, you're going through tribulation, I want you to know this God. And I want you to turn to this God. And I want you to lean upon Him because He has everything that you need if you'll just come to Him. Would you do it? Now the last thing is in the last part of the verses, verse 7 and verse 8, is that He knows the Savior. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This guy knew the Savior. Look at how this covenant-keeping God, the Lord, preserves. And that word's mentioned throughout these two verses. He preserves. God watches over His own and delivers them from evil. Do you believe that? Now, I just suggested that unto you a moment ago about how God will do things and we're not even aware of it. But don't we pray, or we're taught to pray, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, the first part of that verse says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the psalmist is writing and he says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. God watches over us. God will protect us. And I believe that there are several facets in which this may be done. First of all, I submit unto you from the bad things of life. Aren't those things considered to be evil? We say, well, that's bad. That's an evil thing. That's a bad thing in life. Well, He shall preserve thee from all evil. God can keep and protect us from bad things in life. But a second aspect would be from sin and wicked people. And our society is filled with wickedness, corruption. We need God's protection, don't we? We need His deliverance from evil. He shall preserve thee from all evil. Yes, the bad things of life. Yes, from the sin and the wickedness of other people. But I'll tell you, a third aspect that occurs to me is that when He preserves thee from all evil, from sin's penalty unto salvation. If you're here today and you're saved, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There was a time that you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were alienated from God. You were an enemy of God. And you know what? You were fighting against Him whether you thought you were or not. and you were under condemnation of God, and you were staring hell right in the face. Judgment and wrath of God. And when God saved you, what did He do? Took away your sin, washed you in the blood of Jesus, forgave you, gave you eternal life, and you know what He did? Took away the penalty of hell, and the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. We who are saved know that better than anyone else, because He delivered us from sin. What a joy. The psalmist says, you know what? The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Look at the latter part of verse 7. He shall preserve thy soul. Again, I suggest unto you three facets. God preserves the soul. Now, I trust you understand that the word soul here is the word for spirit as well. Same word. The life of which an individual can have. So one of the aspects is that the Lord shall preserve thy soul. He maintains physical life. In Him we live and move and have our being. How is it that we can do anything in this life? It's because God is the one who gives us life and keeps that life going. He's the one that protects us from those bad things. So in the circumstances of life, you say, well, He maintains physical life. But then secondly, He alleviates those distresses of life. He shall preserve thy soul. He not only gives you life to breathe and you live it, but also during this life, the troubles and trials, He can alleviate those things. He is our keeper. He preserves us from all evil. And He shall preserve thy soul. And the third aspect is, of course, in that spiritual aspect. That is, He saves from sin and secures eternal life. Are you worried about losing your soul? Are you afraid that your soul will go to hell when you die? Those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior do not have that fear. He shall preserve our soul. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and I have committed unto Him, and that soul that He's committed unto Him against that day. He trusts that. He knows he's saved. And one of these days he's going to see Jesus face to face. Do you know Jesus as Savior? Does He preserve your soul? I don't think it's stretching the text to implicate that. Because the Lord is our keeper. He can preserve us from all evil, and He does preserve our souls. But then notice verse 8. And keep in mind that as you read these things, that this is a psalm for the Israelites as they go up during the feast time to worship God at Jerusalem. And so the encouragement primarily is to Israel and to her national standing. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God will bless His nation. He will bless His people. But the nation is made up of individuals, is it not? Isn't it true that God will also not just bless the nation and He'll preserve the nation, but when it says that He'll bless thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore, it's true concerning life, concerning those very individuals that heard that song. You have a problem, you have a care. Understand that the Lord is your keeper. And you turn to Him and you cast your care upon Him. And if you still have a need for eternal life, then you need to come to Him. And you need to be saved. You see, it's true for their life that they might have life. It's also true for their experiences of life. All the things that we go through, that they go through. It's true. I can express these words just as the psalmist. I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence come my help, you see. He does preserve. And He will watch over. And this is absolutely true in spiritual necessities, isn't it? Will God preserve your soul? Even forevermore? Now, I know that there are some who believe that you can lose your salvation, that, well, they say they're saved, but then they can do something and lose it. Or, well, you talk about how that you're in the hands of Jesus and no man can pluck them out of His hands. And he says, well, I and my Father are one. And they'll say, I had actually a guy tell me this. He says, well, you can jump out. Are you kidding me? Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand, but He's going to let you jump out? Not for a second. I believe when a person's genuinely saved, they're saved for all eternity. Once saved, always saved. I believe in the preservation of the saints. I also believe in the perseverance of the saints. People that are truly saved will live the way they ought to live for Jesus Christ's sake. But he shall preserve thy soul. I have no fear of hell. I believe in heaven, and I believe he has saved me. He's given me eternal life, and I believe that I'll be with him forevermore. And the psalmist knew that. And so he understood Jehovah as the Savior. And there we have it in the psalm. Let me give you a few things in closing. Number one, I'll tell you this, and you know it's true. You will encounter affliction. You will. Be it in daily life, I mean, whatever life's going to bring to you, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trial. It happens. But you're also going to encounter affliction with sin and the effects of evil. It's all around us. We're born sinners. We have to deal with it from the inside out, don't we? We have to deal with circumstances, and we have to deal with sin and the influence of evil. And you're also going to encounter affliction in the spiritual realm. All the problems of life and how we're going to serve the Lord, and we get tripped up and we get distracted. Oh, so many things can happen to us. Well, how are you going to deal with that? Trouble's going to come. Things are going to happen to you, whether it's on a spiritual plane or a physical plane. Troubles happen. How will you respond? To whom will you turn? Some turn to immorality. Some turn to alcohol. Some turn to drugs. Some turn to all kinds of things. You know, I mean, some people just jump out of airplanes just simply because that's how they get their biggest rush and how they deal with life. Some people turn within and just shut themselves up and live in a state of depression. They're not handling their circumstances very well. How are you going to respond? How's this guy respond? I remind you that for the afflictions of life, he is the Creator. I remind you that for troubles with sin and with evil, he's the sovereign God. He has complete control over those. And I remind you that for the burdens in the spiritual plane, he is the Savior. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, your greatest need is to come to Jesus today. Because if you die in that situation, you're going to lift up your eyes in hell and be in pain and torments for all eternity. You need the Savior. So sinner, be saved today. Would you be saved? You say, well, I don't understand these things. I don't understand about the Savior. Well, we'll point you to Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. He died on the cross for sinners, was buried, and rose again. And he's alive right now. And one of these days he's coming back, and he'll save all those who come to him by faith. Would you be saved? You say, well, I go to him when I need my needs and my troubles, but I don't think I can trust him with my soul. You're really missing the boat there. Yeah, take your cares to him, but you need to take your heart to him. You need to be saved. And Christian, know God as your source. Know that he knows every situation. Know that he is your strength. And know that he is your Savior. Christian, will you remember these things? Will you adopt the philosophy of the psalmist? There's a song in our hymn book that says, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes unto Jesus. Sinner, be saved today. You who are saved, look to him with all your care and all your trouble and all your trials. Lift up your eyes. Like for us to stand, Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are. You can be saved if you'd repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon him, he'll save you. But then if you do that, come let us know, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We want you to know Jesus today if you're lost. And you here that are saved, you're going through troubles and trials, maybe nobody knows about that but you. I ask that you would just take your cares, your burdens to the Lord, and lean upon him. Father, bless your word as only you can. Meet every need of every heart. Save the lost today and cause us as your children to know who you are, to know that you're our strength. And God, you're the only one that can take care of us. So we want to commit our life and our experience and our service to you. Forgive us where we fall short. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?